ABCmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Continued protests in Israel triggered by the murder of those six hostages in Gaza whose bodies were retrieved over the weekend. ABC's Marcus Moore has the latest from Tel Aviv.
In the crowd, six symbolic coffins carried representing the six who were killed.
Demonstrators have just breached a barrier that the security service tried to set up, which is just a few hundred feet from Prime Minister Netanyahu's home.
And steadfast on their insistence for a ceasefire deal, Hamas now warning against further military rescue missions from Israel, saying hostages will return, quote, inside coffins.
Pope Francis has arrived in Indonesia at the start of his longest trip as Pope. He will also visit Papua New Guinea, East Timor, and Singapore. Thousands of unionized hotel workers remain off the job. They are striking several major hotel chains in at least eight cities. The employees, from housekeepers to front desk operators, want more money and for their employers to address understaffing. This is ABC News. One person is dead, two are still missing after an accident on the Connecticut River. The Coast Guard says nine people were on a boat that hit a break wall. A new law in Texas that's supposed to help protect children online is now on hold.
Among other things, House Bill 18 blocks underage users' online access to content on suicide, substance abuse, and grooming. Republican Todd Hunter was a co-sponsor.
Everybody now stalks you online, and it's an unfortunate day, but you know, this is the technology they use.
But federal judge Robert Pittman says politically charged terms like grooming are simply too vague, and he's put that part of the statute on hold. But social media companies are now prohibited from collecting data on underage users. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Some American history up for auction in Great Britain. A coin designed by Benjamin Franklin and dating back to 1776 is expected to sell for thousands. A British auction house found it under some jewelry in a coffee tin. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
During life's most trying times, it helps to have someone with experience and understanding at your side. Ryan Funeral Home and Crematory has attentive staff in De Pere, available 24 hours a day, and nearly 100 years of business experience, which can provide comfort during those difficult times. Call them at 920-336-3171 or visit them at ryanfh.com. Ryan Funeral Home and Crematory, local people serving local families since 1926.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Plans to reroute part of Enbridge Energy's controversial Line 5 in northern Wisconsin are now in the hands of federal regulators. Enbridge aims to address environmental concerns. The tribe's lawyer is Gussie Lord. She says it's not enough.
This reroute is not a solution. It's a full solution to the dangers of the current pipeline. In fact, it really extends the dangers of the pipeline and increases the threat of a devastating oil spill.
It's not clear when the Army Corps of Engineers will decide on the application. Six different hunting seasons are underway in Wisconsin. The Department of Natural Resources says early seasons for Canada goose and teal, as well as mourning dove, rail, snipe, and common gallinule, all opened this weekend. The Canada goose population in Wisconsin is about 40% higher than average this year. This is Civic Media News.
Milwaukee's leading the pack. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. The Brewers have a 10-game lead in the division after Labor Day thanks to a 9-3 win over the Cardinals yesterday. Jackson Churio hit a grand slam to help Milwaukee get the victory. The Brewers and Cardinals play Game 2 of their series tonight. The NFL season kicks off on Thursday with the Chiefs and Ravens. On Friday, the Green Bay Packers will play the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil. It's the first time that an NFL game will be played in that country. Quarterback Jordan Love said coaches have been preparing players for the trip.
I mean, it's just a lot of unknowns that
but kind of it's one of those things, like I said, it's out of our control. So, you know, just trying to focus on everything I can do to get myself prepared for the game, for the defense we're going to see in the game plan. And then obviously once we get out there, hopefully we go by the stadium, kind of get a feel for the layout, field, everything, and then just play it by ear. But a lot of stuff that's out of our control.
Kickoff between the Packers and Eagles will be after 7 p.m. Friday night. And this week is the start of conference season in high school football. You can find one of nearly a dozen games right here on Civic Media Thursday and Friday. And with sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be another really nice day today. Mostly sunny with a high of 76 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Clear tonight in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, sunshine, upper 70s to low 80s with a chance of scattered thunderstorms by Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, WWW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a good-looking Tuesday morning as I'm trying to adjust my things and probably screwing up everybody's headphones.
Right.
Okay. Did I do that? Okay. Hey, welcome back. Got a couple of, everybody just adjust on your own. Oh, you're not plugged in. Okay. See, if Todd was here, these would be all plugged
Con,
in.
Sure.
Good, but we got
her
Con.
Mic isn't plugged in.
How's that?
In.
You good? All right. And then where am I? I'm
you know what?
Here,
that's
I think.
The problem. These things
I know it's
order.
All twisted. How old is Con?
I don't
Con,
know.
Con, how old are you?
Where'd you go to school, Con?
Again, I am Con, 25.
This is not a good reflection on the Kewaskum school system or UW-Milwaukee.
Right.
What's your grade?
Yeah.
Jim?
Or, yeah. Or the training program at Civic Media.
Is that upbringing? Exactly.
Is your mom listening?
Everything. Right.
Yeah, it's
so disappointing. Okay, so disappointing.
All right. So we have our regular. I'm telling producer. Our guest, our regular producer is on vacation. So we don't actually, he's not on vacation. We just don't know where
we
he
don't
is.
Know where he is. We don't know.
He's a very private guy.
So we got Con filling in, and it's just disarray.
It's been a challenge. So it's 7:07. We got 2 hours left, but we'll
thank
get to
God
it.
We're carrying him through the day. Got a couple of texts here. Con just gave these to me. Brian from Green Bay says there's a great Verbo. Is it Verbo? Con, what does that say?
VR, that's like you know, those houses you can rent.
Okay. In Marquette.
VRBO.
Okay.
In Marquette. Vacation rental. Something. What is it?
By owner.
Aha.
Okay.
See, that's why you guys are here. These are college grads here, John.
I know. I mean, good colleges.
Yes.
That's from Brian. Great Verbo in Marquette. Also, eat at the Stone House in Escanaba. That's a great place.
Right,
Stone
we'll
House
do that.
In Escanaba.
Save that. I want to do that.
Save that. Because Jim's going leafing in Marquette.
Leafing, right? You guys, this is very popular out east. People like fly out there. They spend a fortune on hotels and cars and just to see the Leafs. And I did that. And I came back. It's like, our Leafs are just as good.
Underwhelmed.
Yeah, I was. So anyway, we're promoting leafing in Marquette, which starts. We just had Brittany Marlowe on, who is the meteorologist for Civic Media through the whole state.
In Wausau.
And she's going to keep us posted on when the leaves are peaked.
So we got people in Marinette. So, we've got Wausau. We got somebody in Madison.
So we do some road trips.
And they're all going to send us pictures.
And people are sending us restaurant ideas.
Yeah. And also, Jim just announced that he has skylights in his. He's got a mansion. He's got like an unbelievable house. And I got a text here from somebody. Do skylights cause linens to fade? Because Jim is big into linens. You've never seen a man more into making sure he has proper linens.
Just, that doesn't make me sound like, okay.
Okay.
So on a fourth floor, it's a really huge area, and I've had.
He has five levels in his house. How many do you guys have? You have five. Do you have a basement?
I have two.
You have two? Thank you.
Okay, I have two.
Okay, let's go on. We got some great guests here.
Okay.
Anyway. But Scott tonight, I have parties up there, and I have the tables and breakfast, and I put linens on there, and they tease me because I'm totally into China.
He talked about one time he got hurt going down the stairs carrying linens. And he's supposed to come off like this manly. So, well, I got hurt one time out in the woods with my brother's log fell on my knee.
It is, and
I,
yeah.
He goes, okay. Well, I let me tell you a story. One time for the Valentine's Day party, I tripped going down the stairs carrying linens. And I twisted my ankle.
I'm changing that story. But okay. I happen to tell the truth. All right, you guys. So, hey, we talk about Green Bay, just what a great community it is. And we were awarded, right, last year, number one place to live in the whole United States by U.S. News and World Report. Very credible. And even last year, we're still up there. And there's a lot of reasons for it. Your money goes a long way and the amenities. But something that I think came into that, and I haven't read every word in there, but this continuing education, you guys came up with a really cool program, the Schreiber Institute for Women's Leadership, and that's hosted at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, and we have the director with us as well as someone from Schreiber who funds this program. And I just before I turn it over to you, it's kind of too bad that we have to do that in terms of, you know, we have to elevate women. I mean, whatever, that's the world we live in, and well, both of us have daughters, so we're with you 100%. But tell us a little bit about...
And introduce yourselves.
Yeah, Karen.
We should probably do that first.
Yeah, sorry about that.
If Todd was here, that would have been taken care of.
It would have been done.
But Todd didn't do it. He didn't remind us.
Interrupted me. But yep. Go ahead. Tell me as a director.
Lead the way.
Sure. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us this morning. My name is Polly Moore, and I have the privilege and honor of serving as the executive director for the Schreiber Institute for Women's Leadership. I've been in the position for almost a year now, so it'll be my one-year anniversary in October, and I'm really loving it. Our mission really is to advance women both personally and professionally at all stages of their career through education, inspiration, and networking opportunity. And the Schreiber Institute started in 2019. Because of our significant collaboration and gift from Schreiber Foods in 2021, we were named the Schreiber Institute for Women's Leadership.
Awesome.
Wow. Yeah, that's
great.
We are so lucky to have Schreiber. I mean, it's in my previous job. We couldn't have ran the city without them. And plus, they built
it's right across the street.
They built this unbelievable
building.
Can you
see your office from here?
You know, if I lean this way and look up, I can see my office.
Because when I'm up here on the fourth floor, I look into that window lights. What a beautiful facility that is.
It is beautiful.
My goodness.
And Karen, tell us about your Schreiber. You get asked to do many, many, many things. And how come you chose this and your thoughts behind it as a Schreiber 25-year executive?
Sure. Great question. So my name is Karen Lansell, and I'm our executive vice president and chief commercial officer at Schreiber. I feel super blessed to work at Schreiber, and I've never been here across the street, though. This is a good view.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
This is happening down here.
Yeah.
And how about this studio, right?
It's incredible. And all the walls, the glass walls, so you can see out to the community you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's great.
We love it.
So why did Schreiber choose the Institute? So we really are passionate about developing our people. And we believe that's our competitive advantage is our people. And when we become stronger and more well-rounded through development and training, we see the value back to our business. And so we're passionate about it at Schreiber. And when this opportunity was presented to itself, our CEO, Ron Dunford, thought this was a great way of taking our passion and giving back to the communities in a different way than we had in the past. We've never put our name on anything outside of Schreiber, walls, buildings, things. This is actually the first.
Wow.
And so, it's a pretty big deal.
You have to feel pretty good about that, huh?
Yes, we do.
I'm currently the executive in residence for the Institute for Women's Leadership. And I've been on the board for a year. And it's just a really great opportunity for women to get training programs that are tailored specifically for women and network with other women and be inspired and motivated to just continue to do their best wherever they work in the community.
That's awesome.
That it is. And that networking is so important that we can support each other in things. But the people who take this or who enroll, and this is a semester course that you teach at GB, Polly, and the people are working. Are they students or they're already in the workforce?
Yes, these are working professional women, and the Institute has what's called a membership model. So we have individual membership as well as business memberships. So lots of businesses pay a different level, level one, level two, level three. And based on that membership level, they get a variety of different access point or opportunities to be able to access the programs and services that we provide for all of their employees. And so, again, the individual model is someone individually who owns a business, wants to be able to elevate their career, lifelong learning. Again, the Schreiber Institute is through the Continuing Education Division at UWGB.
Which I've been a part of and is spectacular. Yeah. You know, the thing is, it's just wonderful when kids come through school. I hate to call everybody kids, but we're old enough that everybody kids. In college is a kid to us in that way. But it's, you know, you try to help them, and Jim's a teacher in college and everything. But it's wonderful when you have that other group. Continuing Ed is the perfect name for it, but I think that's cool.
Yeah, and that makes you live a healthier life, too. I mean, there's a lot of statistics to show, you know, right? I mean, you continue learning, you're going to continue to live a healthier life.
Keep thriving.
Yes, that's a great point. And I think, you know, as a traditional UW system post-secondary opportunity, we very much focus on the 18 to 22.
Right.
But after that, right, what is it that we're going to be able to expand for people to continue to learn best practices, understand strategies, be able to learn concepts to apply those to their everyday professional life? And that's where the continuing education comes in, as well as the networking. I think Karen brought in a great sense of how do you be able to outreach and create a more robust network so that you're not only just interconnecting with the people internally, but you're meeting women externally right. as well.
But think about when you and I both started in business or whatever mm-hmm. versus now. This time span of mankind, there's never been anything like it. The changes, right? I mean, during your career, our careers, how big of a difference it's been. So, I mean, continuing something like this and for you guys to support that, I think that's very cool. What was the impetus for you guys to decide this is what we want to get behind?
You know,
I mean, because let's be honest, I can't even imagine how when Jimmer and I were talking about a different company in town here today, where how many hundreds of requests they get every week, and you guys, I'm sure, get the same. How did you pick them?
Well, we, you know, I talked earlier about how important the development and training is to offer our partners. We call our employees partners. And so it's about that, but it's also about diversity, equity, and inclusion. Schreiber
right.
really does care about taking action and doing things to create a more equitable, more diverse, more inclusive workforce. And so it's really about the two things combined that this was perfect. This was right in the sweet spot of what Schreiber cares about. And so, you know, the fact that we're putting our name now on something outside of Schreiber that really hits home on two things we care about is really the why.
And I think that's really cool that you're doing this because some people like do the talk, but I mean, to really put.
Yeah
that's really important.
That has always been a part of Schreiber culture is we're it's not just words on a wall that we care about our people, care about our communities,
right.
but we really do live it and act it. But we never necessarily were loud and proud in the community with our name attached to it. We just did it, right? Jim, you probably know this.
I do it.
From being in the communities. We just did it. We're out there. But we know today's workforce requires people to know about Schreiber. People don't necessarily always know about Schreiber. And so we have to start doing different. So,
well, you're doing a great job. And you've also had great leadership with Mike Haddad and, you know, Ferguson, Mengs, I mean, and now Ron's great, too. Hey, can you stick around? You guys want to talk a little bit more?
Sounds good.
All right, great.
Outstanding.
We'll be right back. We're here with the...
Karen and Polly.
Right.
Polly. All right, we'll be back with more right after
Women's
this.
Leadership.
Somebody come and rescue me. I am stranded.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Now, many of you know I talk a lot about how to improve your credit score in my radio minutes and also in my YouTube videos. But today, I'm going to talk about how to think about your credit score when you're trying to figure out how to get out of a lot of debt. And when you're in that situation, it's important not to let worries about your credit score determine which debts you pay first or how you pay your debts off. In other words, don't just rush to pay off a debt because a collector is threatening your credit. By that time, your credit report likely already shows you're behind and maybe even in collections. And frantically paying won't help much, and not paying won't make it that much worse. Take a breath, make your plan. I know that opening those envelopes and figuring out what's going on can be pretty tough. I'm here to say, it's okay. You can figure it out. You can do it. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey, welcome back. Mind of the Mayor here. Talking about a very interesting subject, which is so cool. Karen Lant, pronounce your last name for me.
Lancel
and Polly Mua.
Perfect.
All right, there you go. Talking about a great thing for women.
Right, the Schreiber Institute for Women's Leadership, and that's taught at the University of Wisconsin. It's a semester course, and again, we were talking kind of on break. It's kind of sad that we have to have this, but it's so important that we do have this. You know what I mean? I mean, we're getting there, and no, there's not a better leader of cultural change than Schreiber. I mean, I've been to your talks there and being all-inclusive, and they do a good job, but other people in the community need to learn and be reminded of that. And that's where this institute comes in. Who, Paulie, tell us who applies to your course? What kind of people is the makeup?
Well, at UWGB, we are really focused on access to a variety of educational opportunities. And that's exactly the ripple effect of what UWGB's mission is into the Schreiber Institute for Women's Leadership. Again, like I'd mentioned, we have a membership-based model, so individual membership as well as business membership. Any business that takes part or signs up to be a member, all of their employees have access to all of the opportunities that we provide.
Wow.
And so the Schreiber Institute really has a three-prong approach. One is networking, one is inspiration, and one is education. And the educational piece really is where our certificate opportunities live. So we have an emerging track and we have an advanced leadership track that is offered every semester. And this fall, we're also embarking on a Women on the Rise executive coaching opportunity where we have 12 women take part in a 9-month opportunity. 2 hours are spent in a virtual learning cohort, and individual hours and sessions are spent with that coach to be able to acquire and gain some of that support, as well as work on one particular thing they want to be able to advance in their leadership career.
Okay. Well, let's say one thing, Putley. Okay, we're talking about our generation, Jim, how much things have changed in business or whatever.
Thank God.
And I'm a historical buff or whatever, and I've followed the whole Hmong world, you know, okay. 50 years ago, where was your family? What was your family going through versus who you are, where you are, what your job is right
yes,
now?
Yes.
Tell me that this isn't an unbelievable right. American Thank success you. Story.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, I was actually not born here in the United States. I was born in the refugee camp in Thailand, and I came to the U.S. when I was 5 years old. I have 4 siblings, 3 sisters and 1 brother. And then, I was the first one in my family to actually go to school, finish a graduate degree, and, went on and finished a PhD. And so I even got married at 16. I'm still married. And throughout the entire journey of my education and career, still really pursued, this idea of being able to have everything and balance everything. And, to your point, my parents are super proud, but, building a different generation of leadership and building a model for our younger generation, whether it be Hmong women or women in general, that you can pursue anything you want to. You can be able to live that dream that you want to. Just be able to find the resources and the support to be able to help elevate you along the way.
Well, Jim, we talk about sometimes, once in a while, you have a student that, they got every excuse why they couldn't get something done.
I know, right?
You think she would take any of those excuses versus what her family and her have gone through and succeeded? True.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's so much, and we said this when I was in office too, there's so much we can learn from the Hmong community. I mean, there's some health things too. I think it's eat a little bit better than we do. But just the school, but you guys kind of go on to school. I mean, there's a pretty professional Hmong community out there. know, eye doctors. And
yes. And for me, I've been in, this has been a year for me with the Institute, and I'm just super privileged and proud to be able to lead an organization and an institute that is really focused on access and changing the narrative of leadership for women. That's really what drew me into the position.
Right. What a role model you are.
Yeah. Good job, Karen, picking out. I mean, you are a great role model to have. What are, like, tell me though, people who are listening that working in the healthcare system, working in business, and you know, like, what would a class be? You talk about leadership, confidence, networking. I think that's all really important, and you can. But like,
do you sit on these, Karen?
Well,
what would a course be?
I was going to say, while Karen is teaching our first two sessions both emerging and advanced leadership, she's going to be kicking off our certificate opportunities. So I'll let her share and speak about the topic and the session that she's going to be teaching.
Please do that. Can people still get involved, or is it closed? Or
yeah, you still definitely can get involved. So this Thursday kicks off our Advanced Leader Certificate Program, and it's a series of, what, six courses, Polly, that the women will have the opportunity to go through. Every course is about 4 hours long, so this Thursday I kick it off for 4 hours, and we're talking about women in leadership, and we're talking about influence. There'll be a second course on negotiation. There'll be another course on executive presence and your personal brand. And so these are kind of the courses that these women go through. It's things that women need. Everybody needs this, right? But it's tailored a little bit more towards the women. So that's the Advanced Leader Certificate Program, all within a semester. That is in person at UWGB. And then we have an Emerging Leader Certificate Program for someone maybe not as far along in their career. And that is virtual. So what's awesome about this is, you know, at Schreiber, we've got people outside of the U.S. that will be attending this virtually.
Wow, cool.
Yeah. So it is, this is really specifically for our community, but yet through the Emerging Leader Certificate Program, we can reach beyond Green Bay.
Wow.
And it's very similar as the Advanced Leader Certificate, about six classes, few hours each, and just slightly different level of curriculum.
How great it is to go through those exercises on negotiating. You know, I mean, that's we've talked about that here. When I teach it, the curriculum that they give us at college is a lot of examples are East Coast, West Coast companies, Starbucks, Ben & Jerry's, and I tell the students, we have that right here, you know, with Schreiber and a couple companies, and to give them that confidence. And, you know, it's like, it's kind of like, it must frustrate you a little bit. Like, do we really have to do this? But we really
do. Yeah, but we do. You know, if you look at the entry level workforce, it is male and female, right? Really good balance. But as you go higher within every organization on average, that we start to lose a little bit of that gender balance. So at middle management, at senior management, we just don't have that kind of balanced workforce. And so I guess a call to action for organizations in the community, Paulie mentioned this, but you can get a business membership so your employees have access to this training. And I want to just encourage companies in Green Bay, look at the website, reach out to Paulie, reach out to me, and get engaged.
And selfishly, I hope you touch on the political system too, that women, nothing's easy. Campaigns are the worst, right? I mean, I've been through that, but that's all part of leadership as well, is getting the political side as well as the business side and education side. You guys, this is great. We got to get you back here and give us an update on what's going on. But there's been some very influential people, and I'm glad that, you know, we're going to remind people of who they are, and we still got a ways to go, but you're helping us get there.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Karen and Polly Mua, this is a great thing. And tell again if somebody wants to get involved.
Yeah, look at the website. The UWGB's got a website for the Schreiber Institute for Women's Leadership. You can find it, just quick Google search. And there'll be lots of ways to click to sign up. Otherwise, you know, karen.lansell@schreiberfoods.com. Reach out to me. And go ahead, Polly.
We're also on social media as well. So we have a Schreiber Institute for Women's Leadership on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn. And again, if you have any questions, you can reach out to me at Mua.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air. your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Tuesday morning. Class 3 milk and cheese prices have seen fireworks in the past few weeks, which is good news for Wisconsin dairy producers. Ryan Yonkman, the Vice President of Producer Services for EverEgg, says we're in a position right now where tight milk supply is walking into the teeth of the high demand season.
We know our heifer inventories are tight. We are finishing up what's been a very hot summer. And then obviously on top of that, we've had the avian flu, which has really worked its way around the country, to the dismay of many dairies, but, you know, hay has been a market factor in regards to the supply shortage.
Ryan Yonkman along with us. He's the Vice President of Producer Services with EverEgg. We're coming out of a three-day weekend in the market. After the break, we'll see how commodities are trading to kick off a new month.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empowered Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And Cleary Building Corp. Visit clearybuilding.com to see the Cleary difference. Be sure to keep up with Pam and her travels at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report, on Instagram at MWF Report, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
Tuesday morning from Chicago, cash corn is trading down a quarter of a cent at 377 and three quarters. December new crop corn is trading down a half a penny at $4 and a half. Cash beans are up 7 cents at 989 a bushel. November new crop beans are up a nickel and three quarters at 1005 and three quarters. And cash and new crop wheat is up 7 3/4 cents at 532 and three quarters. Looking at our class three milk contracts, currently September milk is down 6 cents at 22.35 a hundredweight. The October contract is down 4 cents at 22.83 a hundredweight. If we look ahead to November, that's down a penny, trading at 22.51. Coming into a three-day weekend, the cheese market really saw a lift. Barrel cheese closed up 8 3/4 cents at 2.26. The 40-pound block cheese was up 13 1/2 cents at 2.21. On Friday, AA butter closed unchanged from Thursday at 3.17. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be another really nice day today. Mostly sunny with a high of 76 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Clear tonight in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, sunshine, upper 70s to low 80s with a chance of scattered thunderstorms by Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
And now for the Pella play-by-play, I'm Jeff Levering alongside Gina Della from Pella.
Thanks, Jeff. How do you say welcome?
With a new entry door from Pella.
Say it with color.
Like baseball bat oak or foul pole yellow?
Say it with class.
Like following players' unwritten baseball rules.
With clarity.
Like a no-doubter shot off the scoreboard.
And with this great deal, 0% interest for up to 60 months with no money down in equal payments.
That's the ball game. A Pella walk-off.
Schedule your free in-home consultation at PellaWI.com.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, Talk of Green Bay.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Two wonderful ladies that just came through here. Aren't they just fantastic?
And we need that. You know, that
institute. Want to have them back again.
Yeah, that's that Schreiber Institute for Women's Leadership. And,
yeah.
You know, they left a lot of information on how you can contact them and get into that. And that's all part of this continuing lifelong learning. And it's coincidentally that our next guest
Absolutely.
Is the director of all that. So
Absolutely. Hi, Heidi.
Hi,
guys. Introduce yourself.
Welcome
and your
back.
Title, please.
Hi, I'm Heidi Leiderman-Yonke. I am the program specialist for lifelong learning at UW Green Bay. And I also run our History of the Green Bay Packers class.
And you also run a farm.
And I also run a farm,
which
yes.
we're fascinated with.
Yeah.
Yes. So last time I was here, John,
yeah.
I brought you some eggs.
Yes, you did.
So tell me about them.
They're phenomenal.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Did they go well with your spam?
Yes, they did. Actually, you know what? My brother, he bought me spam. And I had the greatest omelet. Three eggs, spam, mushrooms, cheese, and onions.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh. But you know what? So I've got this new thing where I'm going to start a new... You know how... what's her name? Is leaving Channel 11? Cooking with Amy?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
we're going to do a thing called Meals with Mino.
Oh.
And my first one is going to be a spam meal.
Oh, that sounds right. perfect.
And yeah. then we're going to just... Meals with the Mortician. So,
yeah. yeah. But it's great. So, Heidi, did you do chores this morning?
I did do chores
What did you
morning.
Do?
Well, I had to let all the chickens outside.
Okay.
Feed them.
Okay.
The steers were actually all sleeping outside this morning
because
it was
nice
so
morning. Yeah.
so cool and
yep.
nice. So they came in and I fed them, got
okay.
give them their hay and grain, and
okay.
and off I went.
Do you worry about the chickens being outside with hawks around?
You know I do. That's why, like, although my chickens are basically free range, they have a huge, huge pasture.
Okay.
I do have a little fence around it.
Okay.
Because in order for a hawk to pick up the chicken,
right.
they have to have enough area to swoop down. Pick them up and swoop back up.
Like a landing thing, huh?
Yes. Ah. So the fence prevents them from being able to do their swoop.
Did not know that.
There you go.
Yes. Did you know that?
No, I do now.
Wow,
yes.
that's cool. interesting. What else do you worry about, foxes or anything?
I don't worry about foxes by me. We have coyotes, though.
Oh, you
so
do?
I do worry about coyotes.
Yeah, don't blame me there.
Yeah.
You can kill them, though, right?
Oh.
Isn't it legal to just kind of...
I think you can.
Because they're just a varmint, I think.
Yeah.
Aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your classes, and you have, what, 180 or something?
Mm-hmm.
You do some crazy amount
yes.
of continued education. But we're going to focus a little bit on one that I think has got to be near and dear to a whole lot of people at this time of year.
Yes. Yeah. So actually, it starts tomorrow. So it's
oh,
not
wow.
it's not too late to sign up.
Okay.
It's the History of the Green Bay Packers
okay.
course, Return to Glory.
Love it.
So this is going to focus on the 1970s through present day Packers history.
And I'm a little disappointed. Why?
Why?
Because I wasn't asked to teach.
Oh, because you weren't asked to teach. Yeah. No. So
Jim even advocated for me, sent letter of recommendations and stuff.
So our instructor is Brent Henzel.
Mm-hmm.
He's
yes.
the curator of the Packers Hall of Fame.
Okay.
The guy knows more about football and Packers. I think he might know more than you, John.
We shall see. We shall see.
Well, we did last year. We did the History of the Green Bay Packers Part 1. So that was like
okay.
the origins of football.
Okay.
Through the 1960s. And so it was high in demand. Like, I want to hear about the 70s through present
okay,
day.
Okay, okay.
So that's why we call it Return to Glory, because
okay.
most of us know 70s and 80s, little rough.
Well, little rough for us.
As Cliff Crystal calls it, the gory years.
And the glory year. The glory years and the gory years.
Oh,
you know, that's his
yeah.
thing. I'm sorry, he would probably, he could teach a class. I mean, Cliff
okay.
is pretty.
Oh, yeah, he was a guest right. last year.
But he doesn't have my personality.
Pretty big historian.
I mean, let's be honest.
Right, yeah. But he's knowledgeable, so yeah. you got to yeah,
I mean,
one
didn't
or the
he,
other.
Like, literally write the book
oh, yeah.
on Packers history?
He did.
Okay.
He did. He really did. Interesting, and I think it's, I don't know, you're going to focus just on the Packers, but how the industry changed in those years, like the industry, you know,
mm-hmm.
from people working two jobs to
oh, the players,
yeah,
and,
yes.
And well, we're talking
you,
about that,
right?
Drop Forge, guys
right?
Used to
and
work there,
you, right? They would work part time, and even if you go to the Canton Hall of Fame, you can just tell when it went from like the Packers' first Super Bowl rings were like, you know, my wedding ring, you know, a little diamond and stuff. And how it got to the bling. I mean, it's unbelievable. And you can just tell
right.
the whole industry had changed at that time.
Yeah,
and
we're not talking 40. Larry McCarron says he made like $18,000 his first year.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Wow.
So if you take that, I mean, that's going to be an interesting. And the Packers, you know, they had some tough years. But it's really the industry did very, very well. That's my point.
I think Brent does a good job of contextualizing, like, okay, yes, this is Packers history, but here's what's happening in Green Bay. Here's what's happening in the league.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree. It'll be
okay, give me some questions.
Okay.
So he gave you these for me?
So, yeah. So Brent gave me these questions since
I'm
John.
I'm going to be so humiliated if I get these wrong.
Yeah. Okay. You'll be really humiliated if I get it right and you get it wrong.
If I get these wrong, don't ever mention it again in the show.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Con, destroy the tape if I get these wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So first question, what Packer player won NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year in 1971?
Chester Markholle.
Larry McCarron.
You are both incorrect.
Okay, wait a minute. 71. John Brockington.
Yeah, you got it. Right, you got it. All right. Okay. You redeemed yourself. Okay. Half a point for that one.
Markholle was 72.
By the way, Jim's on his phone. Is he Googling the answers?
No, I'm not. Oh, yeah, he is.
I didn't win.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
How many playoff games did the Packers win between 1979 and 1993? So 1969. So between 1969 and 1993, how many playoff games did the Packers win?
One.
Is it multiple choice? No, it's not.
It's not multiple choice. Okay, but
John's right?
John is correct. So it was one game.
1983, and it was that bizarre one against the St. Louis Cardinals.
Was that the strike year?
Yeah.
You guys are good. It says, Brent wrote, one game, the Packers beat St. Louis 41-16 in the strike-shortened 1982 season.
Then they got beat by the Dallas Cowboys the next week.
What a long
stretch.
Although
James Lofton had an 82-yard run on a reverse.
I mean, 1969 to 1993.
Right.
And it's one game.
And the fans supported them. I mean, think about that.
Right.
They only played in one other playoff game, and that was in 1972 against the Washington Redskins. And that led Bart Starr to leaving the Packers because Dan Devine refused to let Starr call passing plays with Scott Hunter at quarterback, where the Redskins just shut down Brockington and MacArthur Lane like you can't believe. I think it was 16-3, the final score. And Starr was so ticked off at Dan Devine, he quit.
Everybody knows that. Okay.
Well, I wouldn't say everybody.
I didn't know that. Nobody knows that. I was just teasing him. So.
Okay, last question, gentlemen. Who was the first Packers receiver to catch over 100 receptions in a season?
Ever?
Who was the first Packers receiver to catch over 100 receptions in a season?
Can't say ever.
It is okay, but is this from that era? From the
correct. Okay, I would assume so.
James Lofton.
I was going to say that.
Nope.
Okay, just wait.
Sterling Sharp.
That is correct.
I should have got that guess.
You should have.
He shouldn't get two in a row.
It's disappointing.
That goes to Mike. So you got a half point.
Give us some more. Ask him to text you some more.
That's it.
Tell him to text you some more.
She's here not to talk about trivia. She's here to talk about this lifelong learning class.
Right.
So tell me.
We got to talk about the format.
But I want to hear about, do you incorporate this unbelievable Hall of Fame, two floors? Is that part of your curriculum?
Yes. So that is actually, so when you sign up, you get the 8-week class. So it's 8 weeks of instruction. And then at the end of class, you get a Hall of Fame pass to use whenever you want.
Where are the classes being held?
The classes are all online on Zoom.
Really?
Yes.
I want to do this.
Yes.
How do I do Zoom?
I don't know that.
Very easy.
I can set you up.
Thank you.
I can tell everyone about it. So the classes are 1 to 3 p.m. on Wednesdays.
Okay.
And if you enjoy the sound of my voice, I'm also the moderator of the class.
Oh, wow.
So I'm on every Wednesday. So Brent is our teacher, the Hall of Fame curator. And then I'm on just, you know, managing questions and tech issues and things like that in the background. So basically you get a link, you click the link, it opens Zoom, and then you're live in the classroom with us. So you can, you know, type in questions in the chat or, you know, show your face on camera, not. But yeah, it's 8 weeks of instruction.
So tomorrow?
Starting tomorrow at 1:00.
I want to do this.
Yeah, I can't. I work, but yeah, you could do that, John. You've got the time.
Yeah,
so it's, you know, that it's all online, like 100%, or do you have some 100, class?
100% online. Yep. So that's kind of nice because the last semester we offered it, we had a lot of out-of-state people, and I actually had international students.
Wow.
I had a man from England who participated. So it was like midnight in England, but he was participating. Well,
was it Aaron Popke telling us how many Packer fans are in Brazil?
Yeah.
It was like mind-boggling how many Packer fans are in Brazil.
Yeah. Now that's it. That's a worldwide, industry that.
But,
and they're working harder at it.
Arizona Cardinals have worldwide. You know what I mean? The Packers such an unbelievable fan base worldwide.
Well, I think the fourth.
The Cowboys. Yeah. Packers. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was really cute because I asked the gentleman from England, I'm like, "How did you become a Packers fan?" And he said, "Well, in the 70s and 80s is when American football became popular."
Okay.
And I said, "Okay, well then why did you choose the Packers?" And in his little British accent, he said, "Well, he's like, I was working at a packing company at the time, and I thought, what better team to pick on than the Packers?"
Oh my gosh.
Pick on the Packers.
That's they got awesome. Their name.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Very cool. That was really cool.
So what are the classes that's a very unique class. What are the classes you're teaching at this time or are offered to people?
Through my lifelong learning program?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a whole load of them. I didn't even pull up my schedule for today. a really fun one coming up end of September. We're doing a little bus trip up to Brussels and we're doing all the Belgian heritage sites up there.
Oh, cool.
So it's only $20 if you want to come. We're going to have a coach bus come to campus. And we're all going to get on the bus and head up there, and we're going to see the Belgian Heritage Center, the site of a tornado up there, site of a big fire up in Door County. So all of the different
Is that where the shrine is that you talk about?
No, that's not in Brussels. That's in Champion. But Brussels just had their Brussels days or something this past weekend because I was there. Hmm. Anyway,
we've had this discussion. What is Belgian food? Is it kolaches?
That's Polish.
No, that's...
I don't know. Well, I'm going to learn.
Sign up.
I'm going to learn.
Yeah, you are.
Get on the bus,
because
man.
Didn't we had Frank in here? Well, Frank's going to be coming in again. He did a whole play on Belgian.
Oh, yeah.
That whole life.
And he's got the Abrams family.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So tell me one more thing about the Packer thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So can you sign up? Do you have to pay a fee to online?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So the fee is, I think it's $139.
Okay.
But again, it's 8 weeks of instruction.
Right.
So 8 weeks of a 2-hour class.
Okay.
And you get supplemental material, reading materials and videos in addition. And I mean, you have access to Brent, who's such a wealth of knowledge. He knows everything about the Packers. So,
let me throw a couple at you to give him, okay?
Okay.
What Packer running back's nickname was the Golden Palomino?
Okay, let me write this down, or I'm going to forget.
Okay.
What Packers running back?
Mm-hmm. Of the 70s, 60s and 70s.
Okay.
His nickname was the Golden Palomino.
Golden Palomino.
Yes.
Got it.
All right.
I will ask him that.
Okay.
And maybe he can address that at the beginning of class
okay.
tomorrow.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
Hey, with your Belgian days, do you do anything on leafing, like the leaves in Wisconsin, how they change and people learn about? The whole, what is that called? Photosynthesis?
We are doing a fall walk up in Door County.
Oh, that's cool.
And it is going to be focused on the autumn leaves changing.
Oh.
Sometime in September.
That's right up your alley.
Pretty cool how that.
Yeah.
I mean, if there was a place in the world where it was always autumn, but it's not because that's such a season of change, right? But anyway, we I like that.
I love fall.
Right?
Are you guys pumpkin spice people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
No?
I'm not. I know it's a thing.
Okay. And, I was just curious because, now that it's September.
Yeah. I love pumpkin. Except pumpkin pie. I don't like pumpkin pie.
Really?
But I love pumpkin bars or pumpkin flavored coffee and things like this.
But not pumpkin pie.
No. I don't know why.
I have a friend who's the same way. He likes everything pumpkin, but
is that
not
crazy?
Pumpkin pie.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That's
weird.
That's two people I know now.
Yeah.
I know.
What's up with these guys?
I know. I love
so
it.
So are you okay? Do you grow pumpkins at your farm?
Well, my dad attempted to grow a pumpkin plant this year.
Okay.
Somebody cut a seedling for him, and it died.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
I thought those things were pretty self-sufficient.
I thought they were pretty hardy, too.
Yeah. Your dad was a farmer.
I mean, he is.
I grow pumpkins.
I mean, but he's...
I'm a better farmer than her dad.
Corn.
Think about it.
Corn, soybeans, alfalfa.
That's why I need to own a farm. Wow.
This is great what you're doing, and I just think this is such an opportunity. You talk about, people from all over, but... I mean, here in Green Bay, to offer all these courses, lifelong learning. And we talked about this last time, we touched on it, but you live a healthier life if you're learning.
Yes.
You want to eat right and exercise. I get all that.
Are you coming to my class that I teach next spring?
No, but okay. I'm glad you I don't know.
I love the support.
I know, right? Believe me.
Con, you're coming.
I teach.
I'll be there.
All right, thank you, Con.
Be great.
Heidi, it's always a blast having you here.
Yeah, Heidi, thanks for coming.
You come in on a regular basis. Yeah. Yeah. You're sparkling.
Yeah, you are.
We're not sparkling.
No.
We're sparkling guests.
I'll come back.
Heidi, right. Thank you so much.
Thanks Heidi.
Golden Palomino. Don't forget.
Okay, yeah. Got it.
Thank
you. I wrote it down.
Great.
Thank
Take
you.
Take care. See you. Back after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mino and the Mayor here on a beautiful Tuesday morning. Heidi is so much fun, isn't she?
Yeah, she's great.
She's great.
She's been up for a while, does her farming, and then she goes to UWGB and does all this lifelong learning. That lifelong learning, though, we've talked about it, but I want to talk about it again. I think it's
You should teach a class.
At the museum. But it's really, really important that, and it's fun to do. I mean, I don't know, when you get a little bit older, I think you're looking for something to do that's kind of local. I mean, you could, you know, $129, yeah, but you
8 weeks.
But you sit there with your spouse, so you're kind of like
absolutely
getting a deal, two for one. But I just think there's so much of that. They were offer over 100 courses. I mean, my parents, I told you that, they were really big into that. Now, they would travel and do these elder hostels, which is, you know, the next really the level up from that. But it keeps you, I don't know if it keeps you young, but it just sure keeps your mind challenged. And there's so many good things. Like, they'll learn about the history of the Packers. I don't know. I think that'd be pretty interesting.
Okay, so Dennis from the Glam Band.
Right.
One of our good friends.
He should teach that.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
But he suggests, because he's going to be helping me with that other veterans project,
right?
I told you about. I don't want to say too much about it yet. But he suggested a book for me to write, Packer related. And there's like 1,017 Packer books out there.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, do something different. It's like, God bless some of these glory years, but it's the same stories we've heard for years and years and years and years. And he came up with an idea. And he said, you should. And
Be careful.
I'll tell you about it. I'm not going to say it now.
Oh.
I'll tell you off mic.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is actually a really good idea. It's like a really different Packer slant book. And it's like, I think I'm going to do that.
And
I'll tell you about it during the break.
Probably sell.
But you know what? People some of those ones like, oh my God, I've heard this story 14 times now.
And you look in, you know, and then when they get on the bargain table, there's a lot of that. But still, I mean, people like to write about it, and I think most people are interested in it, or a lot of people are interested in it. And it's not just Green Bay. I mean, like you said, that's, what, the third, fourth most popular team.
I'm super excited about Friday night's game. I mean, like England, okay, everybody plays in England yet, but there's never been a game in South America before, I don't believe.
Yeah.
But I don't want to jinx anything, but I remember when they started playing some games in Mexico City, and I think it was the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
And they wouldn't play any of their regulars because the field was so horrific, and there are all kinds of problems. So it's going to be interesting to see playing in Brazil. I'm just really looking forward to Friday night.
But I wonder, Brazil, I hope we're not assuming anything.
Have you been there?
But, no, I haven't, but I'm just, you know, the Eagles are playing too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know.
I mean, you don't know that they're all going to be Packer fans, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree.
And the Eagles, I think, those guys travel. So, but I'm talking about with the people in Brazil. I'm interested to see where their loyalty is, or if they're just like the going to the game.
Because well, you've been to South America though, right?
Yes, but when they played that soccer here, did you really pick a team? Did you go to that?
No.
Yeah,
I have all the respect in the world for soccer players because that is a grueling. You're out there running your butt off for like hours. I have all the respect in the world, and their abilities are phenomenal. Yeah. What they can do with the ball with their feet is just mind-boggling, and I love to watch highlights of great plays. But to sit and watch an entire game, don't know it well enough to appreciate it. And you know what? That's the thing about, you know, people have told me, say, well, it's the same thing with hockey. But if you know hockey, you know the guy just made a really good play, even though it didn't lead to a goal or whatever. I don't know soccer well enough to appreciate what they're doing other than when they score a goal.
And that was a big deal when we had that, I don't know, Manchester or whatever.
Right.
And, like, I don't know. You pick a team. My point is, I wonder if there's any loyalty to the Eagles or the Packers in Brazil, or if they're just coming to, like, witness an American football
game. Curiosity.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
It'd be interesting to see. I mean, we talked earlier about people traveling, and do we know people who are going down there? And I think there's...
I've got relatives down there. No, in Argentina, I
are
think
they, are they out?
Well, no, they came. No, when my family moved from Italy, everybody moved because Italy was after like World War One time. So many that was the big migratory, whatever you want to call it, when people left Italy. Okay, between 1900 and like 1917 was like the biggest thing of Italians.
Why did they go there?
Well, I don't know, but I think it was it was for work. But some went to
that's kind of a long hike.
South America, and some came to America. I mean, we lost touch with it, but remember I told you my Zia, my great aunt, wrote the, and she talked about some of the relatives that were in South America.
Huh.
So I don't know. I mean, maybe they just said America. I'm going to America, and they went to South America thinking they were going to North America. Who knows? But what I'm saying is there was a big influx of people from Europe that went there, and who was I talking to about that? Where they brought a lot of their culture with them to South America. From Italy and Germany and those kind of places. But one of the things somebody else was talking about was the South Americans that came, because we had a transfer student in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he, big soccer, you know, obviously great soccer. We try to play basketball and he'd start kicking the ball around and everything like that. But he loved he was mesmerized by football. He became such a football fan when he came here. It was like incredible. Really? He couldn't play it or anything, but he just thought it was like the. And when he went back, he said, "When I go back home, I want to tell people about this sport.
You can use your hands.
This sport is so great.
That's cool."
He just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. So, I think with American football being televised the way it has over the last 20, I think that's where all the people by watching it, it's like, this is really different. This is really cool.
I'm with you, and I think American football is more exciting than soccer. I think soccer, I can't watch something for 2.5 hours.
Me neither.
1-0 or 2-0 or 2-1. I think it's more exciting.
And especially if a team has the lead and then they kind of stall.
I agree.
Yeah. And again, don't mean to insult soccer fans.
Oh, no,
but
we
love
soccer.
Personally, trying to. But what I'm saying is when that kid from South America came up here and that was his first exposure to football, he's like, holy crap, is this awesome.
Yeah. That's going to be interesting to see how that all goes.
And then Aaron said there's like 20 million. NFL fans or something around Brazil?
I think it was more than that. But, what's going to be really the culture down there, though, but you got to go there a couple days early or stay a couple days late because where they're going is super metropolitan. You know, it's not like you think of Brazil, the mountains.
South America scares me a little bit.
Well, that's...
maybe I've read too much about cartels things or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Something about South America scares me.
But this is Brazil. It's... Yeah, I think you... If you get a little
don't
bit
they
more
say
north.
The most beautiful women in the world are like from Brazil or someplace or one of those countries?
Yeah,
like in the world, like they've done studies.
I don't know that, but I wouldn't argue that. I don't know what the study is. I think it's just pretty obvious. But yeah, I mean it's just they're just healthy, and
you know who I
those
don't,
world
you
know, Miss Universe. Well, look at let's see how many were from Brazil, right? If you look at the last 20, 30 years of I mean, we had Americans, but it'd be interesting to see. That's a good question.
You think they'd think I was hot if I lived down there?
Not at all. All right. So, yeah.
All right. We got to set a quick break. John Miller from NBC 26 will be joining us right after this.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston, 87-year-old.